Yeah, thank you for welcoming me to your wonderful, wonderful island. It's the first time for me. Thank you, pastors, for permitting me to be able to speak tonight. Honored by that. Don't take it for granted, for sure. Matt Carpenter, I'm the oldest son of Bishop Don, and I come with him on this trip, and he'll tell you probably tomorrow where we've been and all that, but I've never been here before, to Guernsey. I am a dual citizen. I'm Canadian and American. I'm living in the United States, pastoring a work in northern Maine, the very top, and I'm a border town. You can see Canada across the river, basically.
Praise
so
God.
It's an awesome place. Yeah, it's been that kind of trip. It's been awesome. I like to tease, so I'm going to try to behave myself a little bit anyway. Yeah, so I have one amazing wife named Amy, 28 years, been married. I have two wonderful sons, both in ministry. They married Southern Belles from the United States. My oldest son lives in North Carolina and has given me two grandchildren, three a boy and one a girl. So that's amazing. But girls are amazing because the Carpenters, we just seem to produce boys all the time, so that's awesome. Of course, I showed all the pictures and did the granddad thing. I know you wouldn't think I'm a grandfather, but I am. I love it. And my youngest son, who's 24, just got married in June, and they live in Virginia because she's doing psychology at university. But yeah, they're both active in ministry, and so I'm proud of that legacy, and I'm proud of my mentor. And here I am.
Amen.
Yeah. So I've been in ministry, well, active, probably 16. Yeah. Preached by 18 and went from there. So I'm 50 now. So, yeah, God's done a lot. Seen a lot.
Praise the Lord.
We can always turn our back, right? This time is an opportunity to turn around and go back. I just want to talk about, share some things. We'll see how the Holy Spirit's moving as for some things a little bit later on. But I want to touch some stuff. One step at a time is what I want to call this. This is where I want to go with this. And Amy and I deal a lot with merging ministries, leaders. We mentor that. We are strategic advisors for leadership teams and pastors and leaders and all that. And so tonight I think is going to be very strategic. It's going to be, it doesn't matter your age, your background, what you think of yourself. I think this will be a great help to take all, I know this is a church of the word, so you got a lot of rich word in you. And that's awesome. But there has to be times in our life where we come up against things. We got to know how to apply that word. Yes. Strategically, to take it out of the mythical.
Yes.
Oh, God will do it. Really. Now, he's going to do you through you and I. So we have to be obedient to do that. So I just want to bring some pieces together and encourage you. So that's all I want to do. I want to build on whatever's happening here. And we had no conversation. I do know only one thing, that you guys have been... had some wonderful opportunities for some outreach in the city, in the island, right? So that's awesome. Yeah, that's great. Is this the beginning, by the way? That I do know, so I'm not being prophetic. I just know that. So let's start. Let's go to, where do I want to use to go? 1 Thessalonians 1, if you have your Bibles, your phones, your apps, whatever it is you have. Please do not backslide. I am preaching from my iPad. I did not have room for my big Bible. Just stick in there. And so I had to have a Bible on here. Isn't it great? Oh, there you go. Okay, we're not going to backslide. We're okay. All right. So what I want to talk about, because when I want us to understand that you're on a mission, your life is on a mission, there's a purpose and a reason that you're on the earth. God saved you, brought you into the kingdom, and doing wonderful, amazing things with you. And there are two C's that I want to talk about right here at the beginning that can influence us. So when I minister the word, just so you know how I minister the word, I want to take the word and the depths of that word, and I want to make it very practical. It's wonderful. I believe that revelation knowledge, by the power of it becomes rhema. Now, revelation knowledge has to lead to transformation.
Yes.
Otherwise, we are just a receptacle of revelation, but revelation cannot finish its journey until we are transformed, which is in what? In the likeness and the image of Christ Jesus. So I believe that one way to do that is by the practical element, your everyday living, the things you face every day, and that word comes out in that application, and it even in the testing times or the good times, it shows you where you're at in the process of transformation. So there are two C's, and the first C that we have to cope with and deal with are circumstances. And those circumstances, here's the thing about circumstances, that's the word I'm choosing to use, can rob us and can steal our joy, can get us distracted from our mission. And I'm going to keep opening this layer after layer as I get going. The other side, we have conviction. So I got circumstances, I have conviction. Conviction, when we are convicted, it isn't just, oh, you naughty person, you and the Holy Spirit's doing this. This. Conviction, what it does is actually helps me to be able to launch properly, to take that step of faith in what the Lord's doing in my heart, and it gives me the ability to act on what I'm hearing. So when the Spirit of God is speaking to us, whether in your special times in the morning or at night, whenever you have your devotional time, or congregational like this, it's to spark something, and conviction is good. I want to approach God and life based on conviction more than I do circumstance. Circumstance, you're like the tail on a dog. It's wherever it puts you, that's where you find yourself. Mm. You love God, but you're over there. And then the tail decides to wag and you're on this side. Circumstances has that. And not that we can control circumstance, right? Some circumstance happened to you, people, and you had no control. And so you have to trust the Lord in that. So, but the circumstances did not destroy them and you. I'm just going to talk about them right now. Destroy their faith. Destroy it, actually forged them and made things more solid. Determination, and it takes a word that's in you, and you will, yes, God, prove yourself on that word, and it does something with the forging. So conviction is very powerful. Circumstantial people and believers are like yo-yos, up, down, up, down. You know what a yo? Yeah, yo-yo. Mm-hmm. Am I talking too fast with my accent? Okay, and we go up and down, up and down. What that is it. Don't judge them by their piety or their devotion to God and their relationship. It's that they're the process of discipleship or discipline is not forged enough that they go up and down because they're circumstantial, not conviction. Mm. I need to be convicted. When you stand up for something and you put your hand to something, or you become like a bulldog on a pant leg and you won't let go, conviction propelled you there, and that's what holds you there. Where circumstances, well, that can change. Depends if I'm in a good mood or a bad mood, or how much I'm being squeezed. And circumstances, you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, sure.
So, when the Lord speaks to us as a congregation or as an individual to fulfill your destiny that God has, the reason why you're on the earth, it's those things that God speaks to you becomes a mission. And I'm going to explain that. A mission can be typically 3 to 5 years to carry out the word of the Lord. Whereas in the mission, you have things called assignments. And those assignments take 1 to 2 years, typically. You obey the Lord, he gives you an assignment, which multiple assignments equals what? A mission. You can't have a mission without an assignment, because the assignment is a short term in which that you can, because look, we are good as believers saying we believe God and we trust God, but the Bible says hope deferred makes the soul sick.
Yeah.
Mind, will, and emotions are in the soul. So we can stand on God's promises, but if our hope is never having a result, we get sick or doubt. When we start, oh, my faith must be strong, I shouldn't doubt. No, that's what happens when the process is not taken care of. And so the assignment helps us to be able to put our hands to the plow by faith, propelled by the word, whether it's a prophetic word, the written word, agreement by the elders, what, and you're doing it. But you need to see results. And a lot of believers, I find, often put God into the realm of the mystery and say, oh, well, in God's time. So we remove ourselves from the responsibility of carrying out the word of God. And it sounds spiritual, but it's actually propelling us towards circumstance. Mm. We're going to lose what he's controlling. And we're now into a whole other realm of other stuff controlling that.
Yeah.
And I want to be under the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Even though when I go through a hell, he's with me. Mm-hmm. Right? The psalmist said. And so that's how we can declare that, is because we have a conviction. And I know it's a strange message. You don't hear it much anymore. People want to just go with the fuzzy feelings. But you need a conviction. Right. And a conviction to me, as I'm doing this, just unwrapping this, it's like a fire in you. Ignites passion.
Mm.
Man, I always ask believers, and I'm not looking for you to yell out at me and raise hands or throw your shoes at me. When was the last time you felt the fire of passion? for something that the Lord. We have wonderful things. We have powerful testimonies because God showed up and answered. But where's the last time we felt that fire? Mm. Not immature zeal. I'm talking about a fire that just, man, I just can't shake this. I gotta do this. I don't know how. Well, then you start preparing yourself to know how to do it, right? Come on, I get kind of excited. So calm down and don't drown me out. Well, assignments are important. God gives you an assignment, a short-term assignment, and here's what influences assignments. Simple. Your choices. There's the third C.
Yeah.
That's it. Your choices. Homiletic, Dad. I'm doing homiletic.
Isn't that amazing?
He teaches at Bible school. I'm more of a storytelling. It keeps on wrapping as I go. But anyway, so choices I make, and that's why you see some people who you're talking to one day, and they're awesome. God's doing this to me, and He's showing this to me. When God's just showing you something, it's so fresh, it's not transformed in you yet. And many people step out in the zeal, and they sabotage themselves. They make the wrong choice.
Yeah.
Your daily choices will fulfill your assignments, which what will bring the reward of the mission. The overall mission of what you're trying to accomplish. That's why you're not two steps forward, six backwards, right? Mm-hmm. Right? That's because the choices in your day are putting people back. I deal with believers every day. I deal with people every day. It's sometimes human nature. We all have different areas of weakness or different areas. It depends who we're surrounded by. Depends whether we're teachable. Depends whether, because our ego can get in the way. That's our greatest enemy. Mm-hmm. Pride works through our ego, because we all want to be accepted, and we want people to think we're the most amazing, awesome person on the planet, and you are, but sometimes that gets in the way that we're not teachable, and so we make a bad choice, because we make a choice that we're used to making, and we get into a loop.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? And so your faith will take you a little longer, a little farther, and now your loop is a little bigger. That's the process. You want to keep making this so long that you don't have to loop anymore, right? I would say this, and I don't know. I know you guys have rally cars over here, and what is it, the French Formula One races or whatever they are over here. We have NASCAR in the United States, and these powerful cars. Powerful. Some of them are so beautiful with stickers and everything else. They look really nice if you're into vehicles, if you're into autos. And so they're powerful engines. But the problem is, they're made to go on a track that goes in circles, round and round. The most exciting thing is watching them crash, really. Round and round. They don't even have the same type of tires, the inside tires, because they only go in one direction. Their whole car is built to go on that track like that, right? Sometimes as believers, we allow circumstances to take us out of alignment, and we get built and we get modified for our loop. And that's what we call, are they ever going to get out of that cycle? And that's what the daily choices really help to do that. Okay, let's keep going. You kind of know where I'm at? 1 Thessalonians 1, we give thanks to God. Verse 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. That's great. Verse 3. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith. There it is. So it's a work of faith and labor of love. And steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father. Verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved by God, His choice of you. He chose you. And your beloved. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full... I'm reading out the New American Standard, but I don't know what you have. What's the next word after that?
Sure.
Assurance. In the New American Standard, conviction. That's what an assurance is. If I try to challenge you about your salvation today, can I change your mind that you are not a child of God? You're not a child of God. Yeah, you're crazy. Who do you think you are? No, probably in this room. I think you're pretty stable. I think you have an assurance or full conviction. I can talk till the cows come home, but I'm not going to change your mind. It's a sure thing. It's a solid thing. That's what this is right here. Just as you know what kind of men and women we prove to be among you for your sake. So, some stuff happening here. God chose us. after that, that gospel that we receive, or the word, like even tonight, is not just in word. I want to impart to you. I just don't want to give you information. I want an impartation to happen. Mm. So not just in word, but also in power in the Holy Spirit. See, so when you make the daily choices to fulfill your assignment, there has to be, because you're a believer, you're a son and daughter of the King, right? It's kingdom. Kingdom isn't just here in the church. Kingdom is you, where you go, whatever you put your hand to, that's the kingdom of God. That's His dominion. And you walk in authority in that. And that right there is where the power is displayed. In your relationships, your conversations, right? Your actions. When you do things that nobody sees, but you did it and it blessed somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's not public. No, there's all kinds of ways. Just saying this. I want to keep moving here. Let's talk about choice for a minute. Because it seems so simple. People make choices because of filters in their brain by their experiences that they went through in life. If they don't get healed in their brain and that dysfunction's there, how can you function? So say they had a rough childhood, they become saved, but see, there's no healing in the mind. Those memories still create loop patterns that are sabotaging us and destructive, even though we're a child of God. And maybe we are not even close to wanting to turn our back against God, but we find ourselves in a continual problem. So, this isn't being taped, right, or anything?
Yep.
Oh, okay, so forget the next line. Because one never knows. But I deal with people that's in the, we'll say, in the relationship problems. Wonderful, wonderful people, but they don't value themselves and see themselves great, and they always settle for less, and they always seem to have problematic, they're attracted to problematic people. Toxic people coming into their life because, see, they don't value themselves. They don't see the potential that they have. And as leaders, we say, but you're gifted of God. The power of the Lord's on you. You're amazing. You don't need to settle and get fun. The moment you turn your back and they're off doing their thing, next thing you find out is what? They're dating who? What? Who's that person? Mm. And of course, you know what's the result, and that's usually what happens. They get hurt and is harmed. Why is that? Because the filters of experience, the filters of in the process of growing in God, is capped off, and it needs to be released. Mm. Needs to be. What that talking about? One step at a time. Mm. We all want to get out there. We just need the next step, and it helps broadening that. So it's hard sometimes. And that's why you have to have someone trusted around you that they challenge you, but in a good way. They're not your babysitter, but at least they got you in mind, they love you, and they keep you in safety. Choices are very powerful. What is a choice? It's a power of your will. Where's our will? Mind, will, and emotions are where? Soul.
Yeah.
So soulish. Which, you know what? Soulish is not bad. I'm not talking about carnality. I'm just talking about the soul. Yeah. Oh, my soul. You know, read some of your Psalms. What is the soul? Just proclaim the greatness of who God is. Like, the soul is this window and arena and avenue in which the spirit and everything can combine and work. Hmm. So my will is released in the realm of my soul. Because that's what it is. The choice is there every day. My choice today, this isn't deep, my choice today will determine the outcome of my steps for the rest of the day. If I want to be lazy, I make lazy choices, I'm going to have what? A lazy day. So stop expecting a day of success when you're lazy. No, today's a lazy day. And then you're so hard on yourself at the end of the day because you didn't reach the results and the level of success that you thought. But you see, we didn't put any successful things in place to get us there. See, I'm just trying to break this myth. I believe God. I love God. He loves me. We're so gooey together. We're just so good. What I just know this about him and that. I have revelation, and this is so awesome. But we cannot carry out. See, the power's gone. We got the form. We've got the revelation, but we've cut it off because it has not. The journey to transformation. Yeah. And transformation shows up in our soul. Because that's where you're going to recognize it and others around you. In my mind, my mindsets, my limited things are broken. I'm starting to see bigger, dream bigger. I'm not being under all these crushing things. My will, I'm no longer like a double-minded man who's unstable in all his ways. We teeter-totter. And I know we go through that because that's part of process in our life. But I still have to make choices.
Yes.
That will keep me on the right place, you know? Like, do we always? Nah. Mm. I'll get there in a second. Well, I guess I'll get there now. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. You know this very well. We're okay? We're doing okay?
Yeah.
All right. There must be a teaching thing here because I find the flow going to a teaching type of flow, and I want to go. War horses want to go, and there's different styles, right? Different styles.
Yeah.
So you guys know this one. This is Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. This verse here changed my life 5 years ago. I always knew it. But there's something, it came, God, Holy Spirit put his finger on that, and it changed my life 5 years ago. As into pursuing and not being controlled by circumstances, but rather conviction. The steps of a man, or a woman, just it's a generic term, are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The big H, delights, that's God, delighting in his, that's the small, that's us. He delights in our way. And when he falls, he will not be hurled headlong because the Lord is the one who holds his hand.
Amen.
So you might fall, but you're not going to be cast over a cliff and bye. No, he holds. He holds. Amen. That's a promise statement there to help us in our soul, to help us in our daily choices to carry out the assignment of the Lord. Many people stop their assignment of the Lord because they get guilt and shame. Because they did not obey the Lord and fulfill it. A lot of people start out good, but they don't complete it. The circumstance. What does circumstance bring? Distractions. Sometimes human nature, when we find something difficult or challenging or hard to do in life, whether God's asking us something or whether we're trying to cope with something and handle something, human nature is to be distracted. Anything can distract us. A distraction is a time consumer. That's all that is. And it gets us off and gets us over here. But we're not fulfilling what we should be. Thank the Lord. He doesn't give up on us and gets us back over.
Amen.
He loves us so much that when he leads us, we want to think that we're always on the path. But, you know, truth be told, sometimes we get off the path. Sometimes we have a tire blowout and our vehicle, us, gets in the ditch a little bit. I'm not saying we're big sinners and we're morally corrupt. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's just sometimes things come that we did not expect and plan. And that's life. But you know what? Though a man falls 7 times, he is faithful to pick him up, Proverbs says.
Yes,
it's not an excuse for failure. It's not an excuse for falling. But what it is a promise that God says, hey, get back up, let's keep on going. And you get back up. Why? To fulfill the mission, carry out the assignment, the process of transformation, whatever it is that God wants you to do. God has you on this island to establish his kingdom here and to proclaim that he is the Lord, touch lives, deliver the addicts, heal the sick. And that's all within the realm of relationship and encounters and engagements. It's not a religious activity. We try to make it a religious activity. It is not. It is purely the Christ in you, the hope of glory, just being magnified and manifested, because that's who you are. Who I am right now, who you see right now, the way I act and behave, it's who I am when I'm not behind the pulpit. It's so much easier. It's less tiring to try to put on a show and a fake mask.
That's right.
It's awesome.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I realize I'm still in process, and there's areas of my life that people may not like. Well, that's all right. There's areas in them I don't like either. What's that? So what?
That's true.
So people go, well, what about reading the Bible and praying and doing all this? Here's what I say about all that. I think it's a preparatory activity for our state of being, to put us in a place where we can meditate on God, where it puts our spirit man into a place where we're sensitive enough. Because there's a lot of things in life that gets our attention, and it makes us sensitive enough for godly choices. So my studying the Word and reading the Word or spending time with God isn't a Christian duty or an activity that I do to say that I'm a believer.
That's right.
I spend time with God, so there you go. And then we come up with all these hours. Well, I spent 4 hours. What about you? Well, whatever. You probably needed 4 hours. To me, it's all about that engagement with the Holy Spirit, making us sensitive enough, because life hammers you, and disappointments come. See, there's appointments and assignments, and sometimes when we miss an appointment, it is a disappointment. That's what it is. Right? We have appointments to go see the doctor, go get our auto fixed, go to the dentist, appointments. Some people are very good in the church at making these appointments, but they're not very good at arriving at God's appointments. Because it's not important anymore. Been there, done that. Well, I'm too young. I'm too old. Excuses is just a distraction. That's all it is. It's a justifier. What it does is it numbs the pain. It's all that is. It's a realm of the soul, the mind, right? Gets us tangled up. Is this making sense at all? Help us out.
Yeah.
So I want to make godly choices, don't you? Now, in that, that's me. But then there's a faith part. So that's that Christ part that's moving around in me. That's that faith part. Faith part is active. It's an action. Don't confuse trust or belief and faith. Two different things. Believing is I believe theologically that this is... I believe that God can do the impossible. I believe that God can heal. Belief can sit there and you can believe all day long. Doesn't mean anything. Unless it's put into action, which becomes faith. Faith is a verb. So faith now... is going to get me to my results. Who likes results?
Yeah.
If you work real hard at something, do you not want to see it come out like pretty cool, awesome, excellent? Maybe there's some perfectionist in the room and you rip it all apart and start all over. Please don't do that. I used to be a perfectionist when I was a teenager. Thank God he delivered me. But there isn't a level of excellence that you have to maintain. So faith then is the works part. And I have to implement that. Some people say, I believe that God can do the impossible. Hallelujah. And that's faith. No. Do something that will show that God can move in the impossible. Okay. That's faith. Not presumptuous faith. Faith. So now the choice comes to play whether I choose to engage in the moment with someone. If God leads my steps to someone, I have to make a choice. Am I going to be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit? He wants me to say this to her. There's a choice. Am I sensitive enough? Am I worried about more how I look? Or am I more concerned with how the Holy Spirit just wanted to flow through me as a conduit to touch her life? There's the choice moment. Many times we step away, and it's because in the process we're trying to grow. Just don't make that a common lifestyle. You're always coming to the edge of the loop where you can break out and it could be a straight highway forever. And then you loop it again, right? It's part of growth, but sooner or later, we got to get tired of that. Anytime you feel frustration, spiritual frustration, all that is a sign that you're ready to grow. You've eaten all the grass in the pasture, just like the sheep. You've eaten all the grass in the pasture. The fences have to be extended to more grass. It what does it do? Increase. Is that awesome?
Yeah.
So frustration isn't like where you got to go pop the Advils or whatever you take for headaches over here or Tylenol. I just need all that, you know. No, the Lord's trying to show you, say, yeah, you're ready to grow into something. Release your faith. I've never been there before. Exactly, but I'm there, says God. And then all of a sudden he takes you by the hand and you start experiencing and tasting that the Lord is good. Something new and fresh every morning begins to happen. You're in the vision and the things that lie deep within you suddenly start to rise up again. You say, you know what? God's going to teach me how to do it. I can do that.
Mm.
I've been wanting to do it all my life. I'm going to do that.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. It's awesome. Many dreams die. Many people die. With their dreams still in them, with even their destiny still within them, they never really fulfilled it. Great believers, faithful and givers, faithful at church, love God, he might even operate in the gifts, but never fulfilled the mission that God had for their life. The mission's not just about you. It's about the earth, everybody around you, the sons that haven't come home yet. They're out there every day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I keep moving? I'm going to keep moving. An example, you know this. Jesus spent time in prayer. Prayer is good. I'm not knocking prayer. So please understand what I'm saying. He spent it with the Heavenly Father, and then when he went out, he changed lives in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He spent time with God, with the Father. Boom, went out. Well, there's a result. See, he just didn't do stuff for the sake of wandering around looking. Oh, look at that olive tree. He went out for a purpose, because when you spend time with the Father always gives either mandates, missions, assignments. And out of that, it's up to us how long that'll take. A lot of things we blame on divine delay, it's our distraction delay. It's because we're not really got the passion for it yet, or we got excuses yet. God's helping us through it. We're open. That's all I'm saying. I'm not bringing condemnation or nothing. What I'm saying is we bring awareness of what's really going on in your life, and when that happens, all of a sudden you have a choice to make. Okay, Lord, maybe I am distracted. I have been delaying it. This hasn't been you, and I've been blaming you that you're delaying this. Here's what I do. Anytime the Lord shows me things, and I know that the Word of God and prophecies and all those things, they don't happen that night. But I understand. But what I do is I prepare myself, and I actually act like the now. I act in the now. I move in the now. I believe God wants to invade our now. And power of choice. And the now will determine my steps, so that that Word that God's brought in for me to fulfill my potential, I can walk into it.
Yes.
If you want to get off this island via airplane, you're going to have to go to the airport. Mm-hmm. So there's no sense hanging down around at the mechanic shop, looking at the guy with the wrench and the grease, you know, talking away just because he's a nice guy. Yeah, but you're not getting where you were supposed to go, right? Mm-hmm. Our faith walk is the same way. Our relationship with Christ is the same way. The intimate moments I have with Jesus, and it is individual and so powerful. Mm-hmm. But I believe that because of who he is, because he gave his only begotten son, he's a giver, that he wants to take that treasure he put in me and puts me up there and says, okay, now you need to take this there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it breaks this isolation mentality and this us for no more, and all of a sudden, the supernatural can happen. Yeah. See, I'm the type of guy, I don't want to just think about it. I need to see it. Prove it. I don't like talkers. Be a walker. Does that make sense? Yeah. A lot of people are good at talking the Bible. A lot of people are good talking about things that God did in the past. Show me what he wants to do right now. Show me the power.
Yes.
You say God's that? Let's see him. And I'm a believer. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. I'm going fishing. I'm going to go play golf. I'm going to go do all these other things. Right? Why put my energy, my time, and pay the price, the sacrifice of the walk that it takes to walk with the Lord? And there's great rewards. Actually, I have more rewards than pain.
Yes.
We have the pain and the sufferings, but hallelujah, that the rewards just kind of covers that. That's the power of your choices. Like, we can do that. Sometimes we need to take a look at our choices and say, maybe I'm living life in default mode. This pressures you this way, you automatically respond a certain way every single time, and you still hate yourself for the result. I don't like being here. I don't like my back against the wall here. But see, choices put you in the place where when the pressure came, your back was against the wall, and you hate it with all you, because we live by default. Ooh. Sometimes, you know, people have bad memories like of somebody, and then they meet somebody that reminds them of that person. Automatically, they hate you. See, the mind, the thoughts, brought up an emotional reaction that thrusts you away, and there's no chance for a relationship because of something that was deformed, dysfunctional. We're used to it. We're living in a dysfunctional world. Yeah. It's around us every single day.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful that it doesn't get inside of us. That's right. And that we just begin to just pull back a little bit more. And what happens? We lose the fire and the power to be able to make things actually change. I'm not talking about you loving God. That's not in question here. We're not talking about that. So what is the con? There's a con here in this story. Many people tend to take what I'm talking about very lightly, and they underestimate the power of their choice. Oh, this doesn't sound very spiritual. How's it working out for you then? I need Holy Spirit in my choices. I need a God mind. There are some choices that we'll make that can sabotage us for years, and we're caught in it, and it takes a long time to get out of it. So as a result, these type of people, they do not consider the kingdom order for their daily life. Some believers, all it is about heaven, just a destination. When I die, that's where I'm going to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. And I know as we get older, we think about being with the Lord. I understand that. But you know what? As long as you're breathing, there is a Hey, eternity and all that will be what it's going to be. Right now, I have responsibility. I'm here. God's given me breath, and He's put a word in me, a treasure in me, His Spirit is in me. I just want to please Him. I want to fulfill that. I don't want to live by default and circumstances rule my life, because if you don't rule your life, something will.
That's right.
Every single time. Yeah, that's a fact. You think you're in control, you're not in control. Something is ruling you. Either your pocketbook, health, something is ruling you, and it has to be the Lord. So you just have to, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here. You know what I'm talking about. You just have to take the authority and say, no, enough, enough. I didn't realize I'm living by default. I need to think about this for a second, get the mind of God, and do it. The mind of God isn't always easy. Making a choice that's godly is not always easy. And I'll tell you why, and then I'll move on. Let me remind you that the Lord wants to put you in places of rulership over all kinds of things, not people. You're stewards of people. Rulership of all kinds of things. Well, let me tell you something. Because you're not there, there's something else that rules there. It's illegal. It's ruling. It's an illegal ruler. And God says, I'm going to bring you, and I'm going to put you in this area of life, and you're going to put your hand to it, and you're going to bring my authority, and you're going to sit there, and you're going to rule there. What do you think? Do you think the despot's just going to go, oh, welcome, you're here, you arrived. I've been waiting for you all my life. And the circumstance just cruising in there. Look at me. Woohoo, Hosanna, Hosanna. And all the palm trees gone. No. There's resistance. And then you and I have a choice to second guess what we're carrying. Am I equipped right? Do I have the fire here? Do I have what I need? Is this the mind of God? See, and then don't delay. Get reassured and say, no, the Lord did speak this. The Lord is doing this in my life. And then that resistance keeps, like the waves on the shore, keeps hitting you. But you're going to keep going out, and it doesn't matter, and soon you'll break it. The enemy tests your resolve. It's not whether I'm a strong person or a weak person. The Bible says, when I am weak, He is strong. Amen. So it's not about you and your individuality of your power and your strength of will and determination. Well, He'll make it because He's a stubborn type of person. So He'll make it, you know. No, it's not based on that, right? Mm. God's just stirring in you. Here's a warning. When the power to choose is bypassed or you forfeit that moment, there's a moment. So we live a series of moments. When that moment is forfeited, you give it up. You give up the ownership to that moment. You're subject to the power of circumstance and the stress of that day. Here's your enemy. The enemy of godly choices. Laziness, comfort, confusion, fears of all kinds, and here's a big one, the spirit of rush. We live in that world where you're pressured, and the spirit of rush. We didn't really value what we're going into, and the enemy gets all over us. These are things that we, enemy meaning by the things we wrestle with in the power and the moment of choice. There's all kinds of things that you are evaluating, hitting your mind. And if it's spirit influence, it's got a, okay. Your knees could be shaking in fear, but you, right? Power. You could be.
You could send bones.
Fire, shut up, bones. But there's a moment, and I know because the fire God is in you. And you start disciplining, just all it takes is one choice. Then you go to the next choice. And then you go to the next choice. And soon before you know it, your mind has shifted out of that thing that you wanted to break free. Transformation process. And all of a sudden, it's not by a magical touch where God touches you with a wand on the pumpkin and goes, boom, into a golden carriage. There you go. You got all the thoughts of God. And you know what you're doing. We got to work it out. Let's be real. I'm trying to be real. I'm trying to be real where people live every single day.
Yes.
And God is in it. The Holy Spirit is on it all the time. What happens when you make the godly choice? I'll tell you, a destructive cycle is broken. Yeah. Guess where the devil's playground is? The destructive cycle. All love's playing in there. And so what happens is it quiets the voice of circumstance. I can still hear it. I got to deal with it. But it gives me a place to put my life back in the Lord's hands and let the conviction come up. Because the conviction is what? It's going to give you the steel in your soul. It's going to give you the fire that you needed in that. It's going to cause you to be able to stand there when that thing buffets against you. That's what Paul the Apostle said. And now people go, what? How are you handling this? Where do you get the strength from this? What's happening? And all you can say probably, because we might not understand at the moment, all we can say is, I don't know, it's the Lord. He's just rising up out of me right now. Every person in this room is different. Nobody is the same. You all handle circumstance different. Mm. Oh, yeah. Let's move on. I want to finish up here. Number two, I want to look at assignments. What is assignment? It consists of your strengths. Because you obey the Lord. When you obey the Lord, it gives you the power to influence the things around you. It gives you an ability to be faithful. It gives you an ability to be committed. We all like to be committed. Right? And so when I give myself to that assignment, which is what, 1 to 2 years, God wants to do something in my life. He wants, I got to put my hand to the plow there in that area. I want to see some results. It's going to cause me to become faithful and committed. If I always put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off, I can't be committed, and I won't be committed in other areas of my life. Then if I'm not committed, I'm unreliable. People can't rely on me. Well, they like it when I prophesy and speak in tongues, but I'll tell you, I'm not reliable. That's not good. The power of the Holy Ghost flows through a reliable person. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Mm-hmm. Let's just simplify it. That's all I'm talking about. Here's something else, I'm trying to break this down so that you can identify, where am I in my transformation? Where am I in my growth right now? Where am I in what I'm considering that God is speaking to me? I think that's good to understand that. Instead of living by default and hope God shows up one day and shows you. He is showing you right now. So an assignment, here's what it carries. It carries the ingredients to be creative. An assignment carries the ability for you to be responsive to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. As you move among the people. If I know my assignment. This is an assignment for me. Mm. It's not my mission. This trip is an assignment. I know why God brought me. I know it's more than just because my father invited me, which is wonderful. I need that. That's adorable. I know before I left why I'm over here in Europe and this side of the sea. I know that because this is an assignment. And because I'm aware that I am in an assignment and that my steps are ordered of the Lord, then I can respond to the Holy Spirit according to my assignment. Mm. I serve the Lord I'm sharing this with me, about me. A lot of believers, their idea of the Lord is buffet style. You come into the house of the Lord, you come into God, and you pick and choose what you want from God, and you fill up your plate and go, ah, God's wonderful. But I believe if you're very deliberate and full of purpose, and you start consuming and eating what the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, start reading books, start studying your word, that's specifically along what God's trying to burn in you. I will tell you, you will accelerate. Stop dabbing this and that and that and that. You know, faith and healing and wealth and missions. And you start grabbing all this as an individual. But what is God speaking to you right now in this season? You grab that. That'll help you in your choices.
Yes.
Amen. And now all of a sudden you're giving strength that specific word that he wants to emerge you and manifest it. Whoa! See, remember? Really, we're looking for results. And results do not lie. I don't care what's coming out of your lips. You don't care what's coming out of my lips. If there are no results to show what's coming out of my lips, the results, the thing about results, it really shows where we're at. What are the results in your life right now? Mm. That's where you're really at. I don't care what our mind is saying, where we think we want to be. The results are showing where we're at. Mm. It's scary and cold. But at the same time, we know that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And I can tap into that source. Mm. Boom. Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. I thought that was good. Almost done. I love this. An assignment. There's just something about assignment when you know you're on assignment, like the story I shared. And you start seeing small little results. Somebody's touched. You're getting encouraged. Whatever it is. You know what it does? It brings the spirit of adventure out of you. See, to me, my walk with the Lord is an adventure. I don't have it figured out. I don't know where totally I'm going to end up in something in 2 years, but it's an adventure. The Lord and I, we're going to look at it together. See, the assignment brings this Yeah! And the joy of the Lord is my
strength.
What do you need strength for? For the resistance. For the thing that's in the place of authority where you need to be ruling. Because that's part of your inheritance and your promise. God said, I have this for you, but you're going to have to go in. And when you go in, there's something there. You're going to have to take it out. So I need strength. And that comes from the joy of the Lord. Which comes back to, I know why I'm here.
Yes.
Do you know why you're here? And I don't mean you. Why are you here? What's going on? Acts 16, you don't have to go there because I just am referencing it. It talks about Paul and Silas, and they're going to the place of prayer every day. And a woman gets delivered, causes an uproar. That was the one who's saying, yeah, behold the men of God, behold the men of God, for 3 days. And she was filled with the Spirit, and he cast it out. Okay, and caused an uproar. Then they got drugged before the town. They were beaten, and then they were cast into prison. In the midst of all that, they began to sing to the Lord, sing their praises. What happened? Miracles happened. That's the power of God, the power of the kingdom, manifesting. There you go. They're not just talkers. They gave room for the power of God to be demonstrated. The jailer got convicted. He repents. His whole family comes into the kingdom of God. There's a what? A result. Results what? Don't lie. God is not a liar. What he told you, it's not a lie. I don't care how many years ago, it's not a lie. Some things you bypass, too late. You'll never have that. But God has fresh and new things for you today. Maybe God will give you a second chance in certain areas. I don't know. That's totally up to God. It's not up to me. Because he is a God of a second chance. Sometimes we want to go back and get an opportunity we missed. But the thing is, everything's changed. The dynamics of our life change. That was for the moment. It's not for now. It's not for you to carry into your tomorrow. He has some precious stuff right now that you're carrying in your spirit. You've been asking questions about God, to God about, and you're just saying, when? Problem is, you're hearing the echo because God's saying, yes, when? An assignment is more than orders. I'm almost finished. It's a vehicle, and it connects with many more assignments, and the kingdom of God starts, oh, you know what? This is connecting with that. I'm starting to see the plan of God. See, God is a God of design, not chaos. When we live by default, all we experience is chaos. Because that's what lives in the realm of circumstances. Dog bit me. Okay. But what are you going to do about it? It's going to ruin the rest of your day. You're going to take care of what needs to happen with the dog. Not 3 weeks later, still be pouting because the dog, neighbor's dog bit you. You know, things that we got to move along. And sometimes things just distract us and pull the power of God out of us. I'm telling you right now, I want to give room to the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit to demonstrate.
Yes.
Amen. I want wonders and miracles. Let's finish with this. And then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Everyone okay with that?
Yes.
What does a mission do altogether? That mission is the long-term thing. You guys are on a mission and maybe there's a bunch of assignments. Assignments would be you're bringing food and this one's going to bring the children's makeup for face painting. And those are assignments. But the big mission is the overall harvest of the kingdom in this area. Okay. So a mission brings focus and faith together. If you don't have clarity tonight, I want to pray with that. I want to pray with some of you about that too. Just no clarity. Your future's a fog. You don't know. You have no plan. You just don't even know where life's going. And you're in routine every day. And you're dissatisfied with that. I want to pray for that, okay, here in a moment. When all of a sudden that mission comes through in your life for personally, faith and focus comes together. Hit what you're aiming at. Isn't that awesome? You guys are just looking at me like I got three heads. But that's all right. When I talk like this, this is what I know that might be going through some of your minds right now. As I'm talking like this, you might have a sense that you're being overwhelmed. Yeah. Sometimes you have a lack of understanding of where you are in life right now, what God wants to do through you right now, about some dreams, maybe some gifts or ministry that you want to develop in your life. I'll tell you this, it takes discipline to seek the Lord for understanding. Where's discipline found? Distraction or discipline? I don't want to be distracted. Then discipline is going to happen. It's a choice. I need to take 15 minutes today and get clarity on something. Then take it. That's discipline. Distraction is, I think I'm going to watch the television right now. But you were called to just quiet your day. A lot of people, they are afraid of quiet. We go to sleep with noise. We listen to noise all day long. You know what? Don't be fearful. The Lord can heal us of that too. Sometimes what happens is a person, we can believe that someone else will do it. That's a danger. Mm. But nobody's going to do it like you.
That's right.
I'm not. You guys are my fellow saints in Christ here in Guernsey.
Right.
But I'm not here. I do what I do where I am. You do what you do where you are. That didn't even sound right when it came out, but anyway.
That's good.
That didn't sound right, man.
It sounded fine.
You are where you're supposed to be
right
now, and don't devalue your peace. It is important. It is amazing. Because God gave it to you, and there's nobody like you. Like a big pot stew. If some ingredients are left out, it just doesn't taste the same. Maybe you're the bay leaf. The bay leaf has to go in.
That's it.
When you're interacting together as the body.
Yes, amen.
One of the greatest things to keep us locked, to not be able to step in ahead, to step into it, to walk it out, is a mindsets. And our mindsets can be limited. God can, but I can't. It's limited. God wants to flow through you. Pride. Ego, irresponsible behavior, our hearts are hard, callous, selfish. Those are enemies to what I'm talking about tonight. Those are inner battles. Those are inner things that we have to say, Holy Spirit, work on me.
Sure.
Make me soft again.
Yeah.
Circumcise my heart again, Lord. I've been in this thing, maybe I've been in this for so long. Some things I've taken for granted that I lost the simple joys. He answers prayers like that. Doesn't make me a bad person, doesn't make me a sinner. It makes me valuable. He can use me. He likes when people talk like that. The mission is possible. The assignment can be done. This church, and you as an individual, you've sought the Lord. You are a people that I believe hear the voice of the Lord. And you know it and you are familiar with it. The Bible says they know me. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. You're making choices even tonight, even as you're listening to this. You're going to have easy ones and you're going to have difficult ones. It's not a matter whether it's spiritual or non-spiritual. Everything you do is spiritual. Did you know the Greeks brought that in? That going to the shop to get groceries or go do your job as a nurse or whatever, that's just natural. But when you come to church or you speak in tongues or you give money or you clap your hands, that's spiritual. It's a dichotomy. That comes from the Greek thinking. Jews don't think like that. They believe that everything they do is spiritual.
Yeah.
That they are a son, daughter of God.
Yes.
And that whatever they put their hand to is given to them by God. And they don't diversify or double-mindedness.
Yeah.
They are one.
Amen.
And I think we need that again back in in the church. So it doesn't matter when you think, well, there's nothing for me to do at church. So I guess my assignment must not, your assignment just might not be in this room.
That's right.
That's all. That's all it is. It doesn't make it any less important.
No,
because you know what? Nobody can do it like you. Let's close with this. 2 Samuel 23:5. Part of my prayer, and then we'll minister and see how the Lord wants to do. 2 Samuel 23. As I make choices, it sets me up for assignments. God says, oh, now you're here and now you're ready. I can enter them with joy, and here what we need is expectation.
Praise.
Then a suddenly comes in our life. Who wants a suddenly? Those are awesome.
Yep.
But see, there were steps to lead to that. And I'm not giving you a 7-step plan. That's not what I'm saying whatsoever, do I? Sometimes your mission may look like it's far away. It might look difficult. That's okay. God knows you're the type of person, what you've gone through, that you're the exact type of person that He needs as a vanguard to push your way through so others can follow in your wake. He knows your makeup. He knows who you are. I don't. Don't underestimate yourself or God. Truly, verse 5, is not my house so with God. For he has made an everlasting covenant with me. That relationship, that promise is unbroken. Ordered in all things and secured. For all my salvation and all my desire, will he not indeed make it grow? Take that home and study that a little bit. Meditate on it. 2 Samuel 23, verse 5.
Oh, thank you.
Did I give you the wrong one? Or is that
no,
wrong?
No, it's me.
There's a lot in that. Mm. How did my steps become ordered? It's another word for assignments and missions. That choices. Choices to get there. I had to make choices to come here. Lord, I thank you for this group of people. They've come through fires, they've come through storms, they've come through tests, they've come through things. And at the end of the day, they're still found standing, singing praises to you. And as promised, Lord, I pray right now for anybody that's in this room that is in a season or a time right now where there's no clarity. They're in a fog. They're caught in routine. They're caught on the track, the loop. Maybe they're starting to experience some frustration. Maybe a lot of unnecessary questions are arising. Maybe they're losing hope. Accepting life as it is, sitting back. No joy for tomorrow. Just take it as it comes. God, I pray right now you'll intervene. Power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know the hearts of men and women. Lord, I ask right now that you just penetrate the heart. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden let an explosion take place inside.
Amen.
Unlike anything they've had for a long, long time. And it just clears back the rubble and the stuff that accumulates and just shoves it back for some breathing room, Lord. That they can begin to take steps and move in clarity. That God, that as they're seeking you, and you'll give them the wisdom. You will give them you'll start causing vision to come alive again.
Hallelujah.
And dreams that are put on shelves started to be touched again and looked at and examined, Lord. And all of a sudden, as these things are happening, Holy Spirit, you are beginning to infiltrate with power and life again. The electricity is hooked up again. There's this zzz, zzz in their spirit. The Bible calls it a quickening in the inner man. The baby's leaping inside again. And they'll birth it. They'll put their hand to it and not look back. I just pray right now. Holy Spirit, it's part of the revelation. God, bring that right now in Jesus' name. And then it's your responsibility to follow up on that. That's all.